It's a couple of minutes after 8 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. Welcome to the program. It's the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted that you're with us this morning. So in 2005, our first guest earned his commission as a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps. He's a combat veteran, served in Afghanistan in 2011 and 2012 as a member of the 1st Reconnaissance Battalion. He was a judge, former judge advocate in the U.S. Marine Corps, deputy district attorney, special assistant to the United States attorney, and certainly one of Southern California's leading litigators. And he's running for Orange County district attorney. Do me a favor and please welcome our guest this morning, Pete Hardin. Welcome to the program this morning.
Good morning, Ed. Delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
Really glad to have you this morning. How are you?
Outstanding. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for making the drive in.
Yes, sir.
And first of all, thank you for your service to our country.
Thanks for your support, Ed. I appreciate it.
That's great. Can I ask you really quickly about some of your... first of all, when did the law enforcement bug bite you? Was it in the military or was it before that?
Well, you know, I grew up... with a father who was a lawyer. He had become a judge in the Southern District of New York. Public service was very much a part of our family growing up. My family sort of imbued in me the values that guided them: servant leadership, integrity, courage, respect, compassion. And, you know, in retrospect, those were certainly the values that guided my career going into the military, into the Marine Corps in particular. I wanted to challenge. I was a young guy who wanted to prove himself, probably to myself more than anybody else. And we found that challenge, to be sure. I loved my time in the military. I spent about a year in Afghanistan, as you mentioned, with a reconnaissance battalion. And when I got back and got out, I decided that Orange County was a wonderful place to make home and create a family here, which I have, and wonderful place to raise kids. But I wanted to continue my life in public service. So that led me into... a prosecutor in the district attorney's office, and then as a federal prosecutor at the United States Attorney's Office.
Okay, can I ask you real quick about Afghanistan and what we're seeing? And as you, as someone who served with honor over there, how do you feel about the images we're seeing about how we're leaving?
Yeah, it's heartbreaking, Ed. I mean, you know, I think that's the best word for it. It's heartbreaking. I think that reasonable minds can differ as to whether we should have stayed with some moderate force there or left. I can have that conversation about whether we should have stayed or left. And again, reasonable minds can differ. I think it's clear that we have really bungled the exit. I think that's been a disaster, and that's heartbreaking to see.
Okay, all right. And you were a judge advocate in the U.S. Marine Corps. Are there tangible differences between that kind of law enforcement in the military and being a deputy district attorney?
The rules under the Uniform Code of Military Justice largely track the federal system. They're a little bit different from the intricacies of state and local law enforcement, though.
Okay. And why have you decided to run for district attorney?
You know, I believe we need to bring our criminal justice system into the 21st century. And that means using data and social science research that tells us very clearly our criminal justice system is failing. But it also tells us, you know, clear research across the country, including from right here, UCI's Department of Criminology, Law and Society, and UCI Law School, research gives us a lot of hope. It tells us not just that our criminal justice system is failing, but why it's failing and how to fix it, how to treat the fact that we need to treat and how to treat the underlying issues that lead to aberrant behavior in the first place, like mental illness, drug and alcohol addiction, or homelessness. Instead of simply criminalizing those things over and over again, treating those as the public health crises that they are. So bringing our criminal justice system into the 21st century. But secondly, you know, bringing justice with integrity, accountability, and transparency to an office and a county that desperately need and deserve it. Our current district attorney is a disaster, a sideshow. He's costing this county morally, socially, and financially, and it's time to turn the page.
Right. It seems like there's one controversy after another with your opponent and the current district attorney, Todd Spitzer.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, look, people criticized Tony Rakakis for the jailhouse informant scandal. You know, Tony served for 18 years and had one major scandal. Todd Spitzer has served in this office for, what, less than 3 years? And he's had more scandals, lawsuits, it's endless, than Tony ever did in 18 years, from, you know, being the first district attorney in California history to be kicked off of a case because of his unethical treatment of survivors of sexual assault, to facing lawsuits for sexual harassment within his office, promoting his best friend, a guy named Scary Gary. Everyone in the office knew him as that.
Right.
Sexually harassing women throughout the office, promoting him, allowing him to quietly retire with top flight benefits instead of actually facing the issues. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
So is the current district attorney's office, is the culture there just a disgusting boys only club?
No, I don't think in the rank and file, not at all. Okay. I have friends at every level in that office, and I have a ton of respect for those public servants. They're incredibly dedicated. I think it's just at the top. There's a real problem at the top there. There's a sense of entitlement, invincibility, corruption runs deep in that district attorney. Not the office, but in that district attorney.
So where does he get this hubris and the belief that he can operate outside the boundaries? And does that hubris endanger the conviction of someone who is clearly guilty?
Yeah, it does. I mean, look, it detracts from the trust we have in that system. The district attorney is an incredibly powerful position in any county. But Orange County is the sixth most populous county in the whole country. We're larger than 21 states here. The district attorney should be a gatekeeper for justice, right? Ensuring that investigations are conducted, convictions are reached with integrity in a way that inspires trust and confidence. And when you have a leader like we have now who is facing all these scandals, that costs the county a ton of money financially, but also costs us morally and socially in terms of the trust that is degraded. So where does that hubris come from? I don't know. I can't pretend to understand that psychology. I leave that to other minds.
Right. So he has a win at all costs kind of mentality. So it doesn't matter what it takes. It's a win at all costs mentality.
A win at all costs mentality, and instead of doing the hard work to reduce crime here and to improve livability, get in front of the cameras at all costs, get headlines at all costs. Right. And again, that detracts. Crime is going up significantly in Orange County in the last 2 years. Recent Department of Justice statistics tell us that homicides in Orange County are up over 20%. Firearms offenses are up over 50%. It is baseless for our district attorney to, thump on his chest, say he's tough on crime, when his policies are clearly making us less safe, not to mention homelessness. You know, over the course of the 25 years that Todd Spitzer has been in leadership positions in Orange County, homelessness has absolutely skyrocketed. Right. He is absent on the job in terms of meetings to address homelessness issues. He doesn't seem to care about it. He wants to marginalize that community instead of treating the underlying issues that are leading to this.
Right. And how would you treat those underlying issues?
Well, by working with the Board of Supervisors who are working on these issues. We've got some good people on the Board of Supervisors who are working hard on these issues. And with the legislature to create programs that will treat the issues that lead to homelessness, like drug and alcohol abuse or mental illness.
Okay. And when you do become district attorney, will there be any reviews of cases that Spitzer's prosecuted recently?
Yeah, look, I'm happy to be accountable to the public. I always say that justice with integrity, accountability, and transparency. The office as we have it now has no transparency. We don't know what they're doing, and there's certainly no accountability. So I will be accountable to the public if anyone wants to bring evidence forward about a case that we should take another look at. I think that's how we get better. We acknowledge, we review our work, we acknowledge mistakes, and change course and direction when we need to. That's how we get better as people. That's how we get better as a community. That's how we heal and rise as a country. So I will certainly be willing to do that. I can't comment on specific cases,
right?
But I certainly have an open mind.
Right. I won't have you comment on the specific case. I just want to lay it out for the listeners that the overturned conviction in the Sunset Beach murder case with a guy named Paul Gentile Smith, who was serving a term of life without parole for a 1988 murder. Not a sympathetic figure at all. And it took Todd Spitzer 2 years. This guy apparently was, they had jailhouse snitches get information from this guy. And it took Todd Spitzer 2 years to take credit for getting him a new trial. So in his case, in Smith's case, the evidence against him seems overwhelming to begin with. But with other inmates, the tactic that Spitzer's willing to use, in your opinion, are there probably innocent people in the Orange County jail right now?
I can't say that. Again, the lack of transparency and accountability is pretty stunning.
Right.
I think the line prosecutors, by and large, are fantastic individuals, dedicated public servants. I don't think they in particular have a win at all costs mentality. And, I certainly can't stand here and say that I think those dedicated line prosecutors are putting innocent people in prison. I will absolutely not go that far.
Right.
I will say with respect to the Smith case that, you know, this is a perfect example of our current district attorney trying to take credit where, you know, certainly no credit is due. It appears that a prosecutor withheld evidence in that case, whether it was intentional or unintentional is unclear at right. this point. But our current district attorney, you know, made a big show and went in front of the media saying that, well, I'm doing the right thing here. I'm going to overturn this conviction. We'll retry the case. The fact is, though, he could have done that 2 years ago.
Right.
That family of the victim is now being dragged through the mud again. Justice delayed is justice denied.
Right. You know what you just did? You just gave a transparent answer. That was the example of transparency that we would look for in a district attorney. What's the first change that you intend after becoming district attorney?
Well, you know, I talked about addressing those underlying issues. When I was a prosecutor, I saw very quickly the same people recycling through the system for the same set of underlying reasons and the same typical set of crimes.
Right.
And those break down into three categories: homelessness, drug and alcohol addiction, and mental illness. We are criminalizing these things over and over and over again with ever-increasing levels of punishment instead of recognizing that there's an underlying issue here and that we've created a revolving door justice system that creates a lot of job security for the folks who are in it,
right.
But doesn't necessarily serve the public as well as it otherwise could. So my first step will be to talk with prosecutors in the office about how we address these issues. We have a lot of really great people working in that office, and I hear from them often
right.
about the work that they want to be doing and the tough culture that they're facing within the office, and how they want to see a change. I want to sit down with the best and the brightest in that office and figure out how we make good changes. And then I want to go to the Board of Supervisors and work with them. And I want to go to the legislature and saying, hey, folks, I know you mean to do well here. I know you mean to do well with a lot of what you're doing. But here's how it works in practice when you're inside a DA's office. And here are the changes that we need to make.
At the district attorney's office, do you feel that a lot of the other prosecutors are dispirited?
Yes. I think the esprit de corps there that I felt when I was there has taken a big hit. I think morale is at its lowest point. That certainly in the decade plus that I've been around Orange County and known people in that office. It's at a low point, and it's purely because of a leader who seeks self-aggrandizement rather than servant leadership.
Right, and you pretty much answered it a second ago. But your very first staff meeting that you have with the other prosecutors, what do you want to get across to them when you sit down with your very first staff meeting after being district attorney?
The first thing I want to get across to them is that I believe in them. I believe in this office. I really believe the office is staffed with a lot of terrific people. And I want to make clear that the changes I want to make are based in science and research. And let's talk about that. I want to, you know, open up studies, talk about that science with them, and explain to them that I want this to be a collaboration. I think that other prosecutors across the country who have similarly wanted to move our criminal justice system into the 21st century have come in, made big changes without sort of gathering a sense of support among their staff. That's not my leadership style. You know, I learned as a leader in the Marine Corps that you've got to earn respect. You've got to earn buy-in. I don't come in to that office. I won't come in as the most accomplished prosecutor in that office. There are many people in that office who have tried many more cases than I have and more serious cases. I want to leverage their experience. I don't want to come in and tell them what to do. I want to leverage their experience and work with them to make the changes that I want to see.
Okay. And the Orange County citizen who's just now tuning in or driving around in their car, what can they expect from you? What is it that they'll get different from you than they're getting now from Todd Spitzer?
Well, they'll get transparency and accountability. They'll have a sense of what this office is actually doing. And I think that warrants kind of backing up for a second, Ed, and talking about the importance of the DA's office and of the district attorney. People often ask me after I get through a talk getting into the details, well, that's great, Pete, but who is the DA? What do they actually do? The district attorney prosecutes the vast majority of crime in this county and in every county across the country. They have tremendous discretion as to what charges to seek, what investigations are prioritized, what sentences are sought, what diversion programs may be available to get people out of the system. Citizens of Orange County will see a lot more of me, not in the headlines, not in TV appearances and sort of thumping my chest to be, you know, so-called tough on crime, but they'll see a lot more of me figuring out how we can bring our communities together, how we can heal the divide between law enforcement and our communities. I'm a huge supporter of law enforcement. I've worked with, so many of our agencies throughout Orange County. I've worked with pretty much every federal law enforcement agency there is out there. These dedicated men and women have an incredibly tough job, and it's made harder by some of the bad apples among them. And we've got to figure out a way to bring our communities and law enforcement together. So accountability, transparency, accessibility is what Orange Countyans will find with me as our district attorney.
How would you assess the relationship between the district attorney's office and the sheriff's department?
Well, it's important to understand on that, Ed. I get a lot of questions about this. It's important to understand that they are two separate and distinct chains of command. But it's interesting is that they're so intertwined. Right. Neither office can really exist without the other, but they have separate funding sources. Well, the Board of Supervisors funds them both, but separate funding chains and chains of command. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the relationship between our DA and Sheriff Don Barnes is. I know what I see in the media, which right. is our district attorney constantly throwing other people under the bus and constantly serving no one but himself. I know what I've seen in the media that Sheriff Barnes has expressed an interest in potentially opening up part of his budget for the purpose of bringing social workers to ease the burden on sheriff's deputies who face, you know, just an incredibly difficult array of problems they encounter every day. So one minute they may be dealing with a mentally ill homeless person who's walking into traffic. The next minute they may be dealing with an armed robber. And to switch that mental space, you know, I can talk firsthand about this as a Marine, trying to go from a combat frame of mind to a hearts and minds, nation building frame of mind. That's a tough switch to make. Those are two very different headspaces. I think that Sheriff Barnes really understands that. And I look forward to working with him or whomever our sheriff is and are going forward to ease the burden on law enforcement, make their job easier, and treat homelessness, drug and alcohol addiction, and mental illness at its root with people who specialize in that, which we can't expect law enforcement officers to do all
right.
the time.
Right. We see a lot of support for that, and that seems to be the common sense approach. Where do you expect to get the most pushback from?
Well, I don't know. Okay. I from what I have seen, there's, like you said, widespread approach, a widespread support for that. Right. I don't know where there will be pushback on that. I get concerned that police officers themselves, but also the police unions, get their hackles up about the idea of making any changes. And it's my job, you know, as a candidate, and certainly will be as DA, to put them at ease about that and make sure folks understand that, I'm fully pro law enforcement. This idea of defunding the police is crazy to me. Mm-hmm. I believe in reallocating funding to ensure that officers get the support they need and the training they need. But Where that pushback will come from, I'll have to cross that bridge when I get there.
Right. And by reallocation, that would just mean that assisting the officers with social workers that could help in those exact situations that you're talking about, where you encounter a homeless person.
Exactly. In order to free officers up to do what I think they generally do best,
right.
Which is pursue violent criminals. Mm-hmm. And we need to take those folks off our streets.
How can our listeners learn more about you?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Ed. So check out our website, PeteHardin.com. Follow us on our social media platforms and reach out through our website if they have any questions.
Okay. Combat veteran, served in Afghanistan, member of the 1st Reconnaissance Battalion, former judge advocate in the U.S. Marine Corps, deputy district attorney, special assistant to the United States attorney, and one of the leading litigators running for Orange County District Attorney. Pete Hardin, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Ed. Great to be here.
Look forward to talking to you again.
Yes, sir.
It's 8:23 in the Mornings with Ed Show.